Today's scripture passage comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, 4 through 11. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift is for each person and which they should have. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Carly and Clay is going to come up, and they're going to share about their ministry and what God is doing in their life. And then after they get done sharing, then Clay is going to actually bring the message for us today.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Good morning. My name is Carly Thacker, formerly Janko, and this is my husband, Clay Thacker, and we are full-time missionaries. I grew up in this church, so I started coming to this church when I was 4. I won't totally age myself, but it was at least a few decades ago. I actually spent 10 years living in the Dominican Republic as a full-time missionary. This church has been my sending church for that entire time. So I'm so thankful for all of the support that you guys have given over the past decade in my missionary journey. Clay and I recently came off the field, so we're now living in West Virginia, but we are still full-time missionaries. So a lot of people think that full-time missionaries always have to be overseas, but that's not true. You can be a missionary right here in the United States. So some of the things that we're still doing, I am still involved with the Lily House, which is the anti-trafficking ministry in the Dominican Republic that I worked with closely for my 10 years there. So I'm still doing some different things from the States. So some of the administrative tasks, helping with our jewelry parties. An exciting thing that I got to help with this year is it's our 15-year anniversary of Lily House, which is crazy to think that I have worked with Lily House for 2/3 of the time that it has been around. Really, I helped design some merch, and so we are actually selling this merch to help fund our education fund. So this is what allows the teen girls that are in our program to continue to go to school, to go to college. It also gives some sponsorships for some of our staff's kids to go to some better private schools. Education is just one huge way that we help to break the cycle of abuse and exploitation in the lives of these really vulnerable girls that come into our program. So I do have a table over here in after service if you want to come check out what we have available in our merch sale. Again, all of that helps the education fund. And really exciting, one of our girls, we actually had two girls graduate from high school this year, and one has started college. So it's super exciting. So again, that education fund helps send her to college, helps our other girls stay in school. Then the other thing that Clay and I are involved in with our mission organization called Mission Go is we're working as missionary mobilizers. So as mobilizers, what we do is we just engage with people and help empower them to fulfill their calling to missions, whether that's short term as interns or as career missionaries. So we're mostly going around to college campuses and talking with students, but also going to churches for if they are hosting a missions conference or a missions weekend, just to talk with people, help engage again and empower them, equip them to go on mission. So we actually have, this year we launched an internship program. So we have 10 interns that are on 5 different college campuses. So they're there to be engaging with the students on their campus when we can't always be traveling there. We actually were just at Cedarville University in Ohio before coming here this weekend to do an event on their campus and get to meet with our interns that are there. So that's really exciting. And we're also going to be leading a short-term trip back to the Dominican Republic next May. And that trip is open to anyone who's interested. So if anyone from Living Water would be interested in going on that trip, hopefully you heard stories when the church came down and visited us this year in February before we left the field. So it's just a really encouraging time. We'll be able to work with Lily House, work with the school that Clay worked with in the Dominican Republic, and also connect with our local church down there. So again, we'd love to say hi, share even more about what we're doing in ministry, in missions. We've got our prayer cards over at the table as well, if you'd like to pick up one of those just as a reminder to pray for us or ask us about more ways that even you individually can be part of supporting us as we go. Again, right now our mission field looks a little different, but it's multiple college campuses, lots of different churches, and engaging with people just as they fulfill their God calling to missions and the mission field. So anyways, it's so great to be back with you guys. It's been a while since we've been able to come and visit Living Water, but it's always such a joy to get to see the familiar faces and to see so many new faces. Honestly, that is such an encouragement to me as someone who grew up in this church to come back and to see people that I don't know, because that means that Living Water is still engaging in missions and ministry right here in your local area. So hope you stop by the table and come say hi to us afterwards. And now I will turn it over to my husband.
All right. Okay. So as you could tell from Quentin's eloquent reading of scripture, we're going to be speaking about spiritual gifts today. I want to let you know ahead of time, I'm not speaking in tongues. It's just a West Virginia accent. So if you need a translator, Carly maybe can help you out, okay? But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the sermon for today. Lord, I want to thank you for this day, for this time together. I thank you for just the opportunity to worship you this morning already in the reading of your word, in the singing of worship. Lord, in the lesson that we heard even during the kids' time, Lord, I just pray that you would be honored and glorified through the message here this morning. We know that your word says that when your word goes out, it accomplishes all that you intend for it to accomplish, and it does not return void. And so, Lord, that's the prayer over the sermon this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so Pastor Todd sent me some information. I think it's a series you're going through right now. And so today's sermon is titled, Game On, It's Time to Activate Your Spiritual Gifts. And so, beginning with John chapter 17, verse 18, if you know your Bible very well, you may know that John 17 is when Jesus is praying, not only for his disciples at that time, but for you if you're a believer here today. And so Jesus prays for you, and he says this, Jesus prayed to the Father, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Now, as a missionary, my very first thing I'm going to say is your mission in the world is to do missions. Okay, but I looked at the context here. I don't really think that's what he's getting at, but he did give us that mission, so I'm going to push you a little bit. Be involved in missions. Be involved locally. Be involved nationally. Be involved internationally, any way that you can. So that's just a brief side note, because when I actually checked the context, what it seems to be telling us is more in line with 1 Corinthians 12:7. And it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the church. Helping the entire church. So when you see that wording, it tells us this is not actually for missions. But God gives us our spiritual gifts primarily not for missions, but for the edification, the building up of his church. So part of that is going to be mission-minded. We're going to see that in a moment when we look at the spiritual gift of evangelism, for example. That's building up the church by literally adding numbers to it. But what you see in the majority of these is be hospitable to other members of the church. Be faithful to be involved in the church. Be faithful in your giving to the church. Be an encourager for the church. And so all of what we're doing is building up God's people, the church. And so we're going to start with how to activate my gifts. And the first point is be thankful that God has given you those gifts. Okay, Ephesians 2:10 says this: "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." So a prerequisite for activating our gifts is to be thankful for the gifts that God has given us, the way that he's created us, and to be thankful for those things. Right? If you're somebody who works well with your hands, you shouldn't be jealous of Pastor Todd preaching. It's not a better and a worse kind of situation. It's a your gift and my gift kind of situation. If everyone was just a preacher, the church would be destroyed. Okay? We need people who are willing to serve, humble themselves and serve in ways that maybe people will never see. So at my home church growing up, the one woman that as I got older, I could look to her and I'd say, that is a faithful servant of God. She almost never taught a lesson, even to kids. I hardly ever heard her speak, really. But she was faithful every single week, scrubbing toilets, vacuuming the floor, washing the windows, and technically she was employed by the church, but it was not truly a job. It was her service to the Lord and to his church. That woman made a bigger impact, for example, on me than some of the pastors that I've had in the past. So no matter what you're doing, you may feel like you're not seen. There's someone who sees you. There's someone who's watching you. Be proud of the gift God's given you. Next is be proactive in discovering your gifts. So when you become a Christian, God brings these dormant gifts alive, right? That's part of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, right? He's regenerating your soul. He's giving you life, but along with that life, he's giving you these spiritual gifts. Now, you probably have more than just one spiritual gift, and you probably have some of each of them in different measures, but you need to discover what your gifts are. He doesn't force you to take them, but he holds them out and he wants to give them to you, and you have to choose to activate those gifts in your life. You have to choose to practice those spiritual gifts. And so 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 says this: "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so what we see there are the two different things that I've already kind of set out there. The one who speaks and the one who serves. Totally different gifts in most cases. Okay? So what we have here is no matter what it is, it says that in everything God may be glorified in Christ Jesus. Whether you're the preacher and you get amens like just happened, whether you're the person scrubbing the toilets, you're doing it not for your glory, not so that people will recognize you, but you're doing it for the glory of God the Father through the power of Jesus Christ his Son and influenced by the Holy Spirit. That is how you do it. That is the only means by which any of us have the power to serve Christ's church. So as God grows you, sometimes your spiritual gifts are going to change. And sometimes the spiritual gift you have when you're younger is going to be different than when you're older. And even as you're into adulthood, maybe you're a young adult, it could be different as you age throughout life. I honestly think parenthood and grandparenthood may be the two things that could transition you the most, because some of you all maybe weren't the most encouraging people in life. But let me tell you, when you got a grandkid, they've never done any wrong. So you've become a great encourager in that way. Maybe you're not the most hospitable person. Well, then you have that little baby in your arms in the hospital, and you just think, man, I'm going to give the world to this kid. Okay, so there are things that will change you throughout life. Perhaps some of you all have heard of things like personality quizzes, and someone will come up to you and say, oh, I'm a J13X or whatever. Right? I don't know what those are. I've never really gotten into that. But I've heard people use those, and they say, oh, well, I'm sorry I was rude to you. That's just my personality. It's like, oh, my goodness. That's not an excuse. I mean, it is an excuse. It's just a really lame excuse. And so it's not valid. And yet there are Christians sometimes who make those same kind of excuses with their spiritual gifts. It's like, well, I don't really think I need to give towards missions and be hospitable because I've got the gift of faithfulness. I'm not sure you do if you don't want to give towards God's church, but, you know, you do you, and it's between you and the Lord. I don't think that's what he's getting at here. Okay? So when it comes to spiritual gifts, we should not think of them as, I have the gift of teaching, so I really don't need to worry about hospitality. That's not accurate at all. In my own life, I know that I am not naturally an encourager. Right? I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, Carly, it is incredible all the stuff you do for us and our family. I'm so thankful that you like to wake up and make pancakes and put chocolate in them, right? So I do tell my wife thank you probably more than I tell a lot of other people, and I know to say thank you. I was raised in a more southern area, so we're told to say thank you, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and that kind of thing. But I see what people do. The example of the woman I talked about earlier, I've seen what she's done. It was well into adulthood before I told her, Peggy, I am so thankful for everything you've done for the Lord. And it's because in my mind, I'm like, I'm thankful for her, but I don't go out of the way to tell her that. Right? There is a spiritual gift of people who are really good at going out of their way to say, I've seen what you've done, and I am so thankful for you. Okay, that is huge. That is huge. And so that's not a gift that I naturally have, but it's a gift that I want to feed into anyway. Because we should all have at least some piece of that, right? Kind of like we should all have at least some piece of the gift of faithfulness. And so it's like the man whose son had an unclean spirit prayed in Mark 9:24. We should all pray alongside him. We believe, help our unbelief. Okay, we want faith in greater measure. Okay, I'm someone who's served overseas. I've served here in the United States in a Chinese church. Right, it was me and one other non-Chinese person in the whole congregation. And I've served there. And it takes a great deal of faith to do that. And yet I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't really think I have that much faith. Right? And so we've all of us, no matter what you've been through, if you've been through cancer and you relied on God, still you can say, Father, I believe, I've seen you do it, and still help the areas where I'm not believing. We all need to be praying that. And so furthermore, before I list out these spiritual gifts present in 1 Corinthians 12, I just want to emphasize, as Paul does in this same chapter, that no one spiritual gift is bad. No one spiritual gift is the ultimate gift. They're all gifts from God poured out to individuals. And he goes into comparing things like the eye is not jealous of the ear and the hand is not jealous of the foot. We need all parts of our bodies to function. And if you're someone who's had an illness, you know that's the case. Because, for example, if your kidney, which is really small, stops functioning, your whole body could shut down. We need all parts of the body of Christ, serving him as they're meant to serve him. Okay, and so 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. If your gift is being used to build yourself up, and you're seeking attention and notoriety, then you are abusing your spiritual gift and not using it. But if you are humbly serving Christ in whatever area you've been gifted, you are fulfilling that calling of your spiritual gift. And so let me list out the spiritual gifts and give a brief explanation of each one. So we've got administration. Administration is being very organized. Nowadays, a lot of administration means you're pretty good with computers. And you can help in the church, you can help with things like bookkeeping. You can help with outreach through writing things up. You can help with the website that's going to be created, or that has been created. Any of these areas would be administrative type of areas. I don't want to speak for Pastor Todd and what he wants, but if he wants someone to help with the order of service, that would fall under administrative. You've got pioneering. Pioneering is when you are a creative person, and you think, here are new ways that we can reach people. Here are new ways that we can get people involved in our church. It's, you're the idea person. You may not even be the person who's good at carrying out your idea. That's maybe more the administrator. But you are good at coming up with new ideas. Okay, there are a lot of people who are like, I'll work whatever you tell me to do, but they don't want to come up with the idea. We need people who are idea people. Evangelism. Evangelism is outreach, sharing the gospel. Okay, so yes, that is going overseas. But if you look at the example of Acts 1:8, it's first doing that right here. So do that right here. Do that nationally and do that internationally. If you've got the gift of evangelism, I know a pastor from my childhood, he could have evangelized to a brick wall. And that brick wall would have repented and believed. Okay, so he could talk to anyone and everyone. He was never ashamed to talk about Jesus. If that's you, you've probably got this gift of evangelism. Discernment. Discernment largely is, I think in the translation that that Quentin read from, it said something like, someone who's able to give wise advice. Okay, discernment is not necessarily something is presented to you in your own life and you're trying to figure out which way to go. It's people can come to you for wise counsel. Encouraging. That is literally just, I am so proud of you for what you've been doing. I'm glad you're in my life. Right? Take a pen and paper, write down some things you love about somebody, give it to them. Send them a text, give them a phone call. That's what encouraging is. And it's not lesser than any of the rest of these. In fact, in some ways, I think it's maybe more important than some of the others. Giving financially. Carly and I could be an example of this one because it's not just us, but as missionaries, we have to raise our support. In the church here, the only way that the church can stay open with lights on and all of the different things you've got going on around here, air conditioning, heating, so you don't freeze in these Michigan winters, you have to be somebody who's willing to give, because otherwise the church cannot stay alive. The literal building of the church cannot exist without you being a hospitable person. And then what I want to really emphasize to you, if you're someone who's hospitable, it does not matter how much money you have. You could be dirt poor living on the streets and be a hospitable person. I had a friend recently tell me that Carly and I, she feels like we're the most hospitable people she's ever met, and I've never thought of myself as hospitable. So I'm not standing up here and trying to brag about that, but when she told me that, it made me really go back and reflect on what I consider to be hospitality. Then there's faith, and faith is high trust in God. Literally, if you're a believer, you have this gift in some measure, because you can't be a believer without faith. But there are believers who have such a great measure of faith that it's mind-blowing to the rest of us, right? For example, in the news right now, I believe it's in Nigeria. I think it's in Nigeria. There are Christians being slaughtered. I saw a news source the other day that said you could see the blood from space, okay? So I'm not trying to make this like a depressing and dark time, but we should actually celebrate those believers who were willing to die because they clearly had this spiritual gift of faith. I just pray that if I'm ever in that situation someday that I have the faith that they had. Praise be to God for those brothers and sisters who laid down their life for Jesus Christ. Hospitality, like I've mentioned a few times. Mercy. Mercy is another one that each and every one of us needs to have in some measure. But there are people who are so incredible at forgiving others. At being willing to say, hey, I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care how you've hurt me. Come and have dinner with my family. Serving and helping. This would be the example of the woman named Peggy I've talked about a few times. And it's not just in the church setting. Serving and helping. There are probably people in your congregation who are not here this morning because they're not able to leave their homes anymore. Go to those people's houses, mow their grass, rake their leaves, scrub their toilets, do their dishes, whatever it may be, because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for Christ. Leadership. Leadership is slightly crossed over with administration, but it's different as well. Leadership is kind of tied in with discernment as well. It's got a little piece of a lot of different things, but you can often tell when someone has this spiritual gift because there are people who are willing to follow them. Okay, leadership in the spiritual gift standpoint is servant leadership, as Jesus did when he washed his disciples' feet and he said, go and do likewise. That's what spiritual gift leadership looks like. Shepherding. Shepherding is more like care. If you all have a member who is in hospice, then you want to go and you want to try to care for them. If you have a member who's in the hospital, no matter what age they are, no matter how severe the surgery they're facing may be, go and just pray with them, care for them, be there for them. With the food drive that's happening, that's caring for the people in our society that may not be able to get food. Teaching is kind of hand in hand with preaching. Sometimes people split those up, sometimes they put them together, but it's a gift where you're able to articulate the things you know in a way that people are able to chew it up and digest it and understand it without it being difficult. Okay, so if you get up here and I just start spouting off all kinds of big theological terms, I may be knowledgeable, but I'm not a teacher. Okay, so you want to be able, and it's not to say that anybody's dumb, but you want to simplify it so that people can easily understand it. And then wisdom and counseling. I think I mentioned earlier as well, and it kind of goes hand in hand with discernment in some ways. So, Pastor Todd did want me to mention this. I think it's in your seat backs. Is it in the seat backs? There's a little card. Okay, so there's a card somewhere, and it says, "My next step today is to use my spiritual gifts to serve my church. I believe I have the spiritual gift of, or gifts of." And usually, if you're assessing yourself for what your spiritual gift is, most of the time you're going to be right about what you think it is. Because in large part, what your spiritual gift is kind of just lines up with what your natural character is. Okay? So if you all want to fill those out and then turn them in at the end, then Pastor Todd will be able to see those. And as the shepherd of the flock here at the church, he can even be an encourager to you all to continue to pursue and grow in your spiritual gifts. And then we need to be quick to use our gifts. So there are three common excuses to be slow in using our spiritual gifts. The first one is, I'm too busy. But we have to make room in our lives. Shame on us if this is our excuse. God has given us each specific spiritual gifts in order to serve Him as we're going throughout our lives. The key to that phrase is, as we're going throughout our lives. So it's literally not taking up extra time. That means you should not put on your spiritual gift of hospitality and pioneering and teaching and wisdom only when you're going to church, and then when you get home from church, you take it off and you put it in the closet until next Sunday. Someone who's truly gifted with hospitality is hospitable whether they have a lot of money or not. Someone who's an encourager is the person who picks up the phone or the pen all throughout the week to give encouragement to somebody. If you're pioneering new ministries and new missions, then you will fail 100% of the time if you're only doing that on Sundays. And a person gifted in teaching must first be gifted in learning. Because if you're someone who thinks you're a teacher and you're going to teach on Sundays, but you only get up and open your Bible on Sunday, then you don't have any idea what you're talking about. And you're wasting your spiritual gift. The second excuse is, I'm not qualified. And what I say to that is, amen, me either. Okay, if you truly believe that you're not worthy to be used by God, then you are in a long line of faithful men and women throughout church history who were also unworthy. So without even delving into the scriptures, looking at guys like David and Paul, who we know are definitely inadequate, we got Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers. He struggled with severe depression. Martin Luther, the guy who started the Protestant Reformation, he was immobilized by the guilt of his own sin. Augustine, considered by most people to be probably one of the five most influential people in all of church history, he struggled into adulthood with a robbery that he committed as a child, believing that God would never love him. These are just some of the titans of the Christian faith that were unqualified. Yet by the grace of God, each of those men made an impact on the Christian faith that will never be fully recognized by us. You and I have certain beliefs here today that if Augustine hadn't existed, we may believe differently. That's how big of an impact he's had. And so you and I, of ourselves, like these men, are unworthy and unqualified to be used by God. However, these gifts are called spiritual gifts, meaning that they're gifts supernaturally given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because it's the Spirit working in and through us, of course we're worthy. And of course we're qualified to serve our Savior and His people. And then the third excuse, I'm afraid. We can't let fear keep us from walking by faith. This topic is a sermon, if not a sermon series, in and of itself, and I know that because I've preached that sermon a few different times. Fear is not what keeps us from walking by faith. But fear of the wrong person or the wrong thing is what keeps us from walking by faith. When our fear is focused on the right person, on the right being, then our fear will actually drive our faith rather than kill our faith. The book of Proverbs repeatedly says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of sound judgment. And then interestingly, the verse right before that, it says, Paul is telling Timothy to rekindle the gift of God that is in you. And so given the context of this passage, I think the gift he's talking about is the faith that he received in order to become a believer. But also, it seems like he could be speaking about his spiritual gifts here. So fear is wrong if you're focused on the wrong object. But if the object of your fear is God himself, then there's great wisdom and understanding in that. And so I'm not trying to even downplay your fear of using your spiritual gift. I know it can be very nerve-wracking, especially if you believe that you have a gift such as evangelism, where you got to kind of put yourself out there more. It can be very scary, and I'm not trying to dismiss your fear. And I can assure you I've had fear many times in my life. However, if you step forward in obedience, then you're going to be amazed at where God is able to take you and what he's able to do through you. And then it's not the fact that it's you doing it, but you're going to look at what God's done in your life and you're just going to fall down and worship to him. Luke 6:38 says this, give to others and God will give to you. The measure you use for others is the one that God will use for you. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about the Lord's work, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted. And so, let me make sure before I mislead you. Yep, this is my final point. Be diligent in using my gifts to serve others. This is Romans 12:7-8. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If your gift is to encourage others, do it. And if you have money, share it generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You have to take action to activate your gifts. You have to choose to step into the opportunities in order to begin your journey of faith in these spiritual gifts. Which just reminds me once again of Ephesians 2:10, which I read earlier in the sermon, which says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And then this amazing phrase, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God knew what gifts he was going to give you. He wasn't surprised by them. He is the author of history, and as the author, he knows where the story is going, and you're a character in history who he's already written down what you need to do. For you to actually get the blessing from that, you need to actually walk into those good works which he's given to you. Walk by faith into those good works. You say, I'm someone who loves serving. Well, then show up next Saturday and rake some leaves. Okay? I'm someone who loves teaching. Talk to Pastor Todd, see if there's some way you can get involved in teaching around the church. I'm someone who's got a wonderful voice. Get up here and sing. Okay, I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, step into those good works. You say, I'm nervous. I know you are. Step into those good works. Okay, fear the Lord, not other people. God prepared the good works that he desires for you and I to do before the foundations of the world. That's incredible. The author of history knows what he wants you to do. Now, instead of letting someone else do that and get the blessing, just do it. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm going to finish with this verse and then I'm going to pray. And this is Romans 6:13. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, clearly that means individually we use our own individual bodies, but when you apply this to the body of the church, Christ wants to use the entire body. Okay? You say, I'm older now. I don't know what I can do. Counsel younger people. Okay? I'm too young. I can't do it. That's a lie. That's a lie the world has told you. Get involved right now. Okay? No matter what age you are, no matter what ability you are, Jesus Christ has some way for you to serve Him. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. If anybody involved in the worship team wants to go ahead and come forward, you all can do that. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day once again. Thank you for this opportunity to open your word. Lord, we know that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the joints of bone and of marrow. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would penetrate our hearts this morning, drive us to serve you more each and every day. Lord, may you be honored and glorified in all that we've done here today and all that we're going to do throughout this week and throughout our lives. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.